I've just been on a weekend trip testing some four-door, four-wheel drive utes. We had the Ford Ranger, the Toyota Hilux, the Isuzu D-Max, and the Mitsubishi Triton. These are cars not just minor niche players in the field. They sell in big numbers. So far this year, the four-wheel drive Hilux is the fifth best-selling car in Australia. If you include the two-wheel drive version, it's the third best-selling car, outpacing every SUV for starters. The weekend was organised by Rob Fraser, an expert in off-roading and editor of Oz Roma website. He joins us on the line now. Rob, thanks very much for your time.
My pleasure, David.
Now, these vehicles are really the bib and bracer overalls of cars. They're tough, but they're also perhaps a little rough around the edges, although they're getting much better, aren't they?
In the last few years, you've seen the dual cab utes become much more car-like inside, leather and satellite navigation, and all the luxuries that people associate with a normal vehicle, which is great for the family buyer.
Now, indeed, some of these cars, the Mitsubishi Triton, had a few good features. This is the Warrior version, which is sort of towards the run-out of the car. The new Triton's due, not immediately, but not too far away.
No, look, I think it's coming out later this year. And, yeah, the Warrior version has got so many extra features in it at a special price. But, mind you, there's only 200, so it is a limited edition. But certainly for value for dollar, it's almost unbeatable on the market at the moment.
Yeah, it's around 46,000.
Around that, yes, which is about $10,000 to $12,000 less than most of the competitors that have the same sort of features.
Yeah, starting to show its age a bit of a noisy engine, I thought, and transmission not as smooth necessarily as the others. But it's very easy for motoring journalists to say, oh, just pay the extra $14,000. That's a lot of money, 20 to 30% more than less than the other ones.
Oh, look, it is a lot of money. And I think if you drove the Triton in isolation, you would be very happy with it. It is a robust ute that... It is showing its age a bit, but it will do everything that you want it to do and comfortably.
Yeah, I think so. Toyota Hilux, good, strong and dependable?
Look, Toyota Hilux has always had a great reputation, and with the increased competition in the last few years, Toyota has lifted its game in terms of features and pricing. So it's now more competitive with the others and a lot more features inside, but it still maintains that, I guess, that Hilux dependability and drivability.
Yeah, not a huge payload rating as far as some of the other ones, but a modern interior, and one could always assume a pretty good resale value.
They do maintain that resale quite well. And again, if you drive it in isolation, it will do pretty much everything you want it to do. And there's been so many Hiluxes that... I guess they've been abused over the years by way beyond their capacity, and they still keep plodding along. So there's got to be some value in there, I guess.
Yes, I think that point of particularly if you drive them in isolation, you find it's not until you sort of drive the other ones together that you really see perhaps some differences, but they're still a good range of cars. Now, the Ford Ranger, now that by far had the best power and torque of the four that we tested.
It is. The Ford Ranger is a beautiful car to ute to drive. Very powerful, very smooth, great for towing, 3.5 tons, and it tows it with ease. Not last year, but the year before, it won our Dual Cab Ute of the Year award, and rightly so.
Yeah, so a 6-speed gearbox as well, so the whole drivetrain and transmission is pretty good.
It is, and it also has that, for those that like it, it has that big American ute look and feel.
Yes, it does, doesn't it? The front end of it certainly looked like a pickup, didn't it?
It did, and you're sitting up high and looking, and you feel like you're driving one of the big F-250s or something. It's one of my favourite utes, I must admit.
And I found inside the interior was very, very quiet. These things sometimes, it feels a little bit like you're driving a ute, but really inside this one, you only knew you were driving a diesel by the tachometer, not necessarily the sound.
That's true, and that's the advantage of being early in its product lifecycle. The Triton and the Hilux, as we said, are very much towards the end of their product life cycles. The new ones that come through will have that same level of sound deadening and normal road type drivability.
You've got to pay a little bit more for that. In fact, at the $60,000 mark, you still didn't get leather seats or electric seats or even a reversing camera.
No, look, that's true, but at the moment, Ford are selling everyone they have, so they must be doing something right.
Yeah, I think that's right. And finally, the Isuzu D-Max. Perhaps not one that you might have initially expected, but really, first and foremost, some good features, leather, electric seats, reversing camera.
Well, I love the Isuzu D-Max. It's a bit of an underrated vehicle, but it's one of those vehicles that you know that engine is, it's been around for a long time, you know, 500, 600,000 kilometres out of that motor. It is not unusual. And it just keeps going and going. And for me, it's actually got, probably especially on sand, it is the most nimble and drivable. And it has the best road manners out of actually all the four that we tested.
Yeah, I found that once you got on sand, it was immediately obvious that it wasn't as heavy in the steering and that it just seemed to cruise across the sand very well.
Oh, look, it did. And it was fun to drive.
Very good fuel consumption rating compared to the others.
Oh, look, it does. And I think that's the way it delivers its torque. It comes in relatively early and it's fairly flat. And so when you're driving it, you're staying in that power band, which means the engine's not really working that hard.
Just about driving on sand, there are a number of features that a number of people just seem to forget about, some of the basics, and it's fairly easy for them to get bogged. Tyres, for a start.
Yeah, look, we as you know, David, on the weekend there was a couple of Land Rover Discoveries that were buried well and truly down to their chassis rails. I think the first thing people need to realise is that you need to let your tyres down so it balloons out and gives you a broader pattern across the sand. And sometimes don't be afraid to go down to 15 or even 12 PSI. And as long as you're driving carefully and not turning corners fast, you're not going to have any worries at all. I think the second main thing that people need to think about is once you do start to get bogged, take your foot off the accelerator because all you're doing is digging yourself deeper into the sand.
Yes, indeed. Now, in fact, there are other things, even right down to the elementary, of make sure you've actually turned it into four-wheel drive. I do remember seeing a car bogged and only the rear wheels were spinning. He didn't realise he thought he was in, quote, a four-wheel drive. You've actually got to select that.
Look, I have to admit, it is easy to do. I have been guilty of that in the past, driving a ute on the sand and thinking, this thing's just not working well. And all of a sudden, you look down and you think, oh, I forgot to put it into four-wheel drive. So it's quite embarrassing, especially for someone like me. And the other thing you need to do is make sure you turn off your traction control.
Yes. Why is that? Why doesn't the traction control help you?
Well, as you know, the traction control tends to apply the brakes when it feels a wheel start to spin. And momentum is your friend in the sand and the brake is your enemy. So as soon as the traction control comes on, it applies the brakes and slows your momentum, and quite often you can get bogged. With these modern vehicles, you have to often keep the button down for a period of time to override it because they tend to think, no, he doesn't know what he's doing, we'll bring it back on, often at the most inappropriate time.
And in fact, if you turn the engine off and turn it on again, it usually goes back to traction control on.
Spot on. That's exactly right.
And the other issue is that not only traction control, but your electronic stability control. I think it was the D-Max where you actually had to press the button twice to get the traction control off and then the electronic stability program. And I didn't do that one time. I only had the traction control off. And, of course, going up a steep sandy hill, it just started to grab the brakes on individual wheels and really slow it down.
And I remember that. You actually stopped about halfway up, didn't you?
Yeah.
And while we're talking about it, if you do find yourself stopped, the worst thing you can possibly do is turn sideways. You get straight up and back straight back down again. Don't try and turn around on the slope.
Yes. Yeah, there's some very handy hints, and they're always very helpful. Rob, I love the weekend, and I thank you very much for the opportunity, and thank you for the interview now.
Thank you, David. Thanks for your company.
And that was Rob Fraser, the editor of Oz Roma website, talking about the four-door, four-wheel drive utes.